Well, it's so good to be in the Lord's house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, beginning at verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, as one who catches birds in a trap or snare. And from the perilous pestilence, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Safety of abiding in the presence of God. The shadow of the Almighty, the text says, He shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wings, you shall take refuge. The King James Version, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Trust there beneath His wings, trusting there under His wings. You know, to the unspiritual, this is foolishness. And to the carnal, to the perishing, and to the perverse, a secret place, a shelter, a refuge, a fortress, this place of trust. And yet if they experience this reality, they would surely testify of a power beyond and greater than. Other translations, the voice reads, He who takes refuge in the shelter of the Most High will be safe in the shadow of the Almighty. Like a bird protecting its young, God will cover you with His feathers, will protect you under His great wings. The Wycliffe Bible reads, He that dwelleth in the help of the highest God shall dwell in the protection of God of heaven. He who dwelleth in the shelter of the Most High God shall live under the protection of the God of heaven. With His shoulders He shall make shadow to thee, and thou shalt have hope under His feathers. It's real, friends. It's all true. Also very true, this shelter. Safety in the shadow. Protection in the shadow. Hope. Great hope in the shadow. Dark and darkness. And a longing for light. Cries for light. You know, I don't like the dark, Lord. Lord, I'm scared of the dark. But what if the darkness was light? What if the darkness we are experiencing is light and the proof thereof? Does the Bible not declare Psalm 139:12, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. It is not dark. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Psalm 91. Snare of the fowler. Perilous pestilence. Terror by night. Arrow that flies by day, pestilence that walks in the darkness, destruction that lays waste at noonday. And this promise, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Snare, pestilence, terror, arrow, pestilence that walks, even lurks, destruction. The snare of the fowler is real. Perilous pestilence is no imaginary thing. Terror by night is no hoax. Arrows that fly by day are no play arrows, not made of Nerf material. Pestilence indeed has legs. And destruction lays waste, no wasted sleeper. But imagine, delivered, no fear, it shall not come near. The message reads, he rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards, from the things we can't see. His arms fend off all harm. The paraphrase continues, fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon, even though others come all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm. It'll even graze you. Believe the word of the Lord today. Receive the word of the Lord today. We are aware that there are hidden traps and enemy traps and a world of deadly hazards and things that on our own and in our own strength we simply cannot fend off. Wild wolves and a wild wolf devil. And how often at noon, sometimes even daily, disaster erupts. So many, yes, many, succumb to these. Failing and falling, dropping like flies, as if taken by the swatter. It doesn't take much for some, and they're trapped. Torn apart, pierced, impaled, hazarded, incapacitated by fear and fears, infected, plagued. But there is a place. There is a refuge. There is a secret place. There is a hiding place. There is a safe place. A fortress, a covering, a shielding. Psalm 36, 7, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 57, 1, in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Psalm 61, 4, I will trust in the shelter of your wings. The Wycliffe Bible, I shall be covered in the covering of thy wings. The Living Bible, oh, to be safe beneath the shelter of your wings. Psalm 63, 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. His precious loving kindness, the magnificence, the grandeur, the majesty, the glory of his wings, the power and the authority. What a shield, both defensive and offensive, a weapon far beyond the natural. Wings, my weapon. Wings, my portion, wings of the Father, wings of my Savior, wings of the Sovereign One. Hope in God. Trust in Him. Settle down and rejoice. Psalm 17:8, hide me under the shadow of your wings. Like the apple, the pupil of his eye. Ruth 2:12, the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. You know, church, people of God, there is darkness we should never fear. A dark place that is a safe place. A dark place that is the safest place. We may not be able to see, but faith thrives in the dark. Let faith thrive in this darkness, and sometimes we can't see the wings, but we can surely feel the feathers. And this, no doubt, plumes our wings. Darkness we should never fear. You know what Corrie Ten Boom said? When you are covered by his wings, it can get pretty dark. It's dark, Lord. It's real dark. This darkness, this blackness, times of shadow and times of greater shadow and times of darker still and times of utter darkness. If the shadow be of the Lord, there's no need to fear. If the dark be of the Lord, there's no need to fear. If the darkness be of the Lord, if the blackness be of the Lord. Lord, I'm going to dwell in the secret place. The secret place of the Most High. It's you, Lord. It's what I need, Lord. It's what I want. Lord, it's the life I want, Lord. Son, daughter, all right. Child of mine. If so, there will be times of darkness. Varying darkness. You got to trust me. You got to have faith in me and know this, that the darkness you experience is the work of my wings. When we are covered by his wings, it can get dark. It can get pretty dark. And so take heart today, hope today, this day. If the dark and darkness you feel and are experiencing now is indeed the work of his wings, he knows what he's doing. Stay, remain, dwell, snare the fowler. I've got you, child. Perilous pestilence, I'm for you, child. Terror by night, young bird, I'm protecting you. Arrow that flies by day, young bird, I'm covering you. Pestilence that walks, lurks in the darkness, young bird, I'm sheltering you. Destruction that lays waste at noonday, young bird, rest now. Corrie Ten Boom went on to say, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. But how many throw away the ticket and jump off? They never make it through. From birds to trains, from wings to tunnels, going through in darkness, through darkness, sit still. And trust, don't try and get out from under his wings. This darkness is our hiding place. Corrie Ten Boom, I mean, who was she? Who is she? Well, growing up in the Dutch town of Harlem, Corey often wondered what her future would be. She was the youngest of four children. The Ten Boom children rode bikes past tall, turning windmills and jumped rope on the narrow streets outside their family's watch shop. Corey was 47, 48 years old when danger and uncertainty threatened her simple life of service. World War II swept across Europe. Within a few months, the Nazi German military invaded the Netherlands and forced harsh restrictions on the Dutch people, and even more so on the Jewish population. By the next year, signs declaring Jews will not be served hung in store windows. Jewish-owned shops began closing, and Jewish families mysteriously disappeared. Despite the danger of defying the Nazis, Corey was determined to help her Jewish neighbors. One day, Corey saw her opportunity as Nazi soldiers ransacked a neighboring Jewish-owned shop. The owner stood outside watching the devastation, so Corey quickly darted into the street and brought her neighbor into the shop, the home. After several days of keeping him hidden, Corey helped him escape to a safe house. Soon more Jewish families, all seeking help, arrived. And even though Corey risked prisoner death, she continued to open the door. As months passed, Corey developed a network of spies and resistance workers who secretly transported Jewish people from the shop home to safe homes in the Dutch countryside. Knowing the imminent danger of anyone hiding, friends of Corey's built a secret room, a hiding place, just behind the wall in Corey's bedroom. The small secret room was long and narrow, 2 feet by 8 feet. That's about as deep as 2 school lockers pushed together and about as wide as 8 lockers lined up side by side. The uneven floors and odd layout made the perfect place for a false wall and a hiding place. 1944, the Nazi police raided. On a day when the house was full of Corey's friends, resistance workers, and extended family, all of whom were arrested. But even after hours of searching, the police never found the secret room or the people hiding inside. It is estimated that the 10 booms saved 800 Jews and other refugees. The arrest began many dark and uncertain days. Both Corey's father and Betsy, her sister, died while in prison. Betsy and Corey were in prison first at Vught concentration camp in the Netherlands and then at Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany. In December 1944, Betsy, whose health had never been robust, died from starvation. Corey faced beatings, interrogation, solitary confinement, sickness, and threats of death. But after 10 months of brutal prison life, Corey was released. Corey was inexplicably released, it said, due to a clerical error just days before the women prisoners her age were all put to death, gas chambers. Released from Ravensbrück, she returned to Holland. As soon as the war ended, she traveled the world for most of the remainder of her long life, sharing her story and the good news of the gospel, serving her Lord. Just before Betsy had died, she said to Corey, "When we are set free from this terrible place, and we will be freed, Corey, before the new year, we must go over the world and tell everyone who will listen what we have proved to be true in this terrible place, that the love of God is stronger than the deepest darkness. They will believe us because we were here." She said, "There is no pit so deep, Corrie ten Boom. There is no pit so deep. The love of God is not deeper still." She said, speaking of her imprisonment in concentration camps. She needed the wings. They needed the wings. This, her hiding place. "She who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Such a dark place, terrible darkness, the deepest, darkest hell. Snare of the fowler. I've got you, child. Perilous pestilence, I'm for you, child. Terror by night, young bird, I'm protecting you. Arrow that flies by day, young bird, I'm covering you. Pestilence that walks and lurks in the darkness, even in a concentration camp, young bird, I'm sheltering you. Destruction that lays waste at noonday, young bird, rest now. Not all made it out. Not all made it out. I know. And members of her own family perished. But even in this, God's love is deep. Deeper still. And even those that perished, covered in living and covered in dying. The ultimate covering, when the wings cover us in death as we pass from this life to the heights of heaven, carried by the very wings that sheltered us from the last dark enemy. Carried through to glory. These her words, "I've experienced his presence in the deepest, darkest hell that men can create. I have tasted the promises of the Bible. I have tested the promises of the Bible, and believe me, you can count on them." I know there are some here today facing darkness, lesser darkness, yet nevertheless darkness. For the dark we face is indeed real. The dark we face is real to us, though to another it may seem just a shadow. But there is a darkness greater than the darkness. There are wings greater than the deepest darkness, wings greater than the deepest, darkest hell, proved to be true in the most terrible places. The love of God is stronger than the deepest darkness. Believe. Because others were there. How beautiful. The shadow of the Almighty. How beautiful the shadow of his wings, the shelter of his wings. Remember David? How he was on the run? Hiding in a cave, hiding from Saul and his forces. A cave? A cave? David's hiding place? Perilous times. A cave. But you know, David found real security not in the hidden recesses of the caves, but in the shadow of God's wings. Psalm 57:1, reading from the Voice, "Mercy, may your mercy come to me, O God, for my soul is safe within you, the guardian of my life. I will seek protection in the shade of your wings until the destruction has passed." Ah, people, run. Run for shelter under the shadow of his wings. My guardian, your guardian, our guardian, the guardian of life. Find safety in the shadow of his wings. Embrace this darkness, for it is our hope. It is our shelter. It's our protection. It's our provision. It's our portion. Cover us, Lord. We need your wings. Matthew 23:37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." This is not the picture of a child, a young child, in their room, hiding under their blankets because of the darkness in their room, even if the blankets bear the image of wings. These are the wings of Almighty God. These are the wings of El Shaddai. These are the wings of Jehovah. These are the wings of Jesus. No make-believe wings, no play set of wings, no glued-together wings, no costume wings. The picture of a mother hen and her concern and care and deep love. A hen. But look, it's the great eagle. You know, we will know. You will know the infinite power of his wings. We will know the infinite power of his wings if we will be gathered, if we will run, if we will dwell, if we will abide. Corey in the camp. Wings that others didn't have. Her sister and father. Wings that others didn't have. David on the run. Wings. Joseph. Wings. Daniel. Wings. Stephen the martyr. Wings. And what of those that gave their lives at the stake? A pulpit on fire. Wings. Yes, John Huss. The roasted goose. Wings. My God. He had the wings. These needed wings. These needed wings for their dark and darkness. And we need wings for our dark and darkness. It got dark for these. Darker still, real dark, but they were not afraid of the dark, for the dark they knew as their portion was the shadow of the Almighty. And you know, sometimes, and I wonder if there have been times when we have not known that the darkness was actually his covering. Actually, him sheltering us and protecting us, hiding us from harm, from danger, from recklessness, from mistake, from association. We can't see it. Might even be loneliness. Maybe God's protecting you. It's real dark, Lord. I look back and looking back, and I know now that there have been times it was definitely the Lord. Even though I didn't quite understand the darkness. It was his wings. My hiding place. The Amplified Bible, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust with great confidence and on whom I rely. For he will save you from the trap of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you and completely protect you with his pinions. And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. You will not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction, sudden death that lays waste at noon. And someone's saying right now, but what are the dead? What are those that died, like Corey's family, that didn't make it out? Well, you know, haven't we already dealt with this? Do we not know that death comes to all, even if by translation? Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but danger will not come near you, shall not come near you. Yet this, danger. Is it danger if permitted by God? And we sovereignly and under divine providence covered. You're saying, hold the line. Out of this world. Joseph, you have meant it for evil. God meant it for good. You see, all in the negative sense shall not come if we are dwelling, abiding. But sometimes, and some are for kingdom advancement, for gospel furtherance, seed for the church, ignition for a generation, fuel for a ferocious fire. We cannot let go of this or spurn this or reject this or neglect this. Genesis 50, verse 20. Evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. His brothers kill the dreamer. Can't kill the dreamer. Put him in the pit. Dark. Pull him out. Sell him into slavery. Dark. Darker still. Well, God's with him and he's serving. He won't bend. He's faithful. He's committed to the Lord. Even in a foreign land, a dark land. Unjustly accused. Throw him in prison. Joseph knew his hiding place. Do you know yours? I see, too, the picture of a child, and perhaps you remember as a child your parents sheltering you, covering you when there was something you shouldn't see. Something you shouldn't be exposed to. Mom, Dad, it's dark. Yeah, I'm covering you. I'm covering you, child. You know, I know of only one who dwelt in the secret place of the Most High that cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Only one whose use of these words could be true, considered true, still covered by providence, and this, destiny. It pleased the Father to crush him, Jesus. And this was necessary that we be saved. Danger. It was necessary that all might find salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, he became what we are so that we might become what he is, that he might make us what he is. All sin, I mean, think of it. Think of even today. Think of even right now, in these moments, in the next hour, all the vile sin that will be committed on this side of eternity, on this planet. And now think, all sin placed on Jesus. He who knew no sin actually became sin, forsaken in that moment there in the deepest darkness because of us. For us, no wings that day for Jesus. No wings till day three. Even though the power of the crucifixion could not be thwarted, could not be grounded, buried, but wings entered the scene. If this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, thy will be done. Thy will. You know, that was enough coverage for Jesus. Thy will, thy wings. These words, he, the life of all, our Lord and Savior, did not arrange the manner of his own death, lest he should seem to be afraid of some other kind. No, he accepted and bore upon the cross a death inflicted by others. And those other, his special enemies, a death which to them was supremely terrible, and by no means to be faced. And he did this in order that by destroying even this death, he might himself be believed to be the life and the power of death, be recognized as finally annulled. A marvelous and mighty paradox has thus occurred. For the death which they thought to inflict on him as dishonor and disgrace has become the glorious monument to death's defeat. Light, pure light, holy light, heaven's light, the risen Son of God, victorious and glorious. O deep, dark death, where is thy sting? O black grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wings. And the risen one ascended to glory. Wings. And a name. A name like wings. Oh, saint. His name is a shelter. His name is a refuge. His name is a fortress. His name is a covering. His name is a strong tower. His name is a safe place. His name is a hiding place. And sinner, his name is your need today. And little bird, caught in a trap, the words of David Wilkerson, our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Psalm 124:7. Imagine a little bird trapped in the fowler's net, lying helpless. Its little heart throbs with terror and its wings beat wildly against the net to no avail. The more it struggles, the more battered and bruised it becomes. Frightened, the bird begins to cry and screech, but escape is impossible. It is completely at the mercy of the fowler. Beloved, that little bird is you, snared by the net of sin. And the fowler is the devil, the wicked one. He laid his trap and caught you in it. Now consider that trapped little bird. How could he possibly get free by his own strength and power? If he fights to break through the net, he will become even more entangled. He may even break a wing or bleed to death. He can't deliver himself. It's a picture. Isn't this the picture? Isn't this a picture of us when we are trapped in sin? We make all kinds of promises to God. We struggle and cry, trying to break free from our bondage, but we have lost our freedom and remain trapped. Think of that little trapped bird. That night, the fowler goes to bed dreaming of this special little bird that he's been after. He can hardly sleep and is anxious to go out the next day and see if he caught it. As the fowler comes near the trap, he sees it has been sprung and he gets excited. He expects to see a worn out, bleeding, frightened, half-dead little bird in the net. But lo and behold, when he examines the trap, he sees the net is torn, broken, the bird has soared. We find the little bird perched on a limb in a tree high on God's mountain. He's free, and his wounds are healing, all because the Lord came and ripped open the net. That little bird is saying to itself, if it had not been for the Lord, if he had not rushed to my side, I would have been swallowed up and devoured. But God broke the snare and plucked me out of that trap. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Let's have the worship ministry return today. You know, we can escape today. You can escape today. We're talking about the rescue of the Lord, and he comes after little ones. He comes after his little ones. And the rescue of the Lord, he comes after rogue little ones. And the sin bird, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is your answer. Only Jesus, the great eagle, can rip open the net. Only Jesus can set you free. Cry out to Jesus. Call out to Jesus. Call on his name. Even whisper his name. The NIV reads, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Further words of Corrie ten Boom, This is so beautiful. She said, I know that the experiences of our lives, when we let God use them, become the mysterious and perfect preparation for the work He will give us to do. Incredible. When we let God use them. You know, I might be there now, but I feel His wings. I feel the feathers, the plumes, the comfort, and even the power of flight. The feel in the fight and the force of this impenetrable shelter for this little bird. Experiences and experience, and just another experience of life. God will use them, the mysterious and perfect preparation for the work He will give us to do. He will give you to do. And these words, we do not know when the Lord Jesus will return. But we do not know of one moment when He may not return. Are you ready? The certainty of the return of Christ was a strong theme in Corey's messages. She saw it as a spur to godly discipleship. The Lord Jesus has promised to return, and He will. It may be very soon. In the meantime, are you taking hold of all the riches God has given us in Jesus Christ? We so often live like paupers when we are really children of the King of Kings. I wonder if we're there this day. Darkness, but it's really the Lord sheltering. It's really the Lord protecting, covering, loving us. You know, I've prayed many times in my life, Lord, open doors that no man can shut, and shut doors that no man can open. Or maybe we're about to make a costly mistake, a foolish mistake, and all of a sudden it's dark. Is it the protection of the Lord? Don't be so quick to jump to a conclusion. Is it Him creating a hiding place? Is it Him protecting and sheltering us from foolishness, waywardness, sin, whatever it might be? Calamity, disaster, break up, break down. I don't get it, God. It's dark. I've got you, child. I'm protecting you, little bird. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And from the perilous pestilence, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under your wings you shall take refuge. You know, maybe you're here today and you got on board that train. It was all light. Jesus, the engineer, you got on board that train. You see, Jesus knows the way. He knows the right way. He knows how to lead perfectly. He knows how to take us. And all of a sudden, there's a tunnel and you can't see anything. Dark. How long is this tunnel? How long, Lord? Well, my advice, by the Spirit of the Lord, don't throw away the ticket and don't jump off the train. I think it's some that even give their lives to Jesus. You know, this train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. There's a train that's not bound for glory. Ghost train. But there's a train that's bound for glory. Holy Ghost train. There's a train that's bound for glory. You get on the train and you're like, life's great. Serving Jesus. And then it starts to get dark because people reject you. It starts to get dark because they don't want to associate with you. They don't invite you over anymore because you won't watch their dark horror films. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could paint so many pictures today and you feel lonely and you're on the train and you're like, God, this tunnel's long. Yeah, he might be protecting you. It might be dark all the way to glory. Can you imagine? You come out of the train and you're right in heaven. And for some, it's been like that. It's been an absolutely lonely existence when they started to serve Jesus. But great eagles fly alone. Great lions hunt alone. Alone with God. Stay on the train, people. Stay on the train. Well, you know it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the house. You know, we honor you, and even if your situation's dark and no one else says Happy Mother's Day to you today, we say to you today, Happy Mother's Day. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen means so be it. So be it. And may his favor be upon you in 1,000 generations. And your family and your children and their children and their children, may his presence go before you and behind you and beside you. We're talking about the guardian of life. All around you and within you, he is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. Amen. So be it. The wings. To God, that the wings of El Shaddai be your portion and the portion of yours, this, their hiding place. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today.